forward?
Sure.
Very good morning to you, and thank you for your lovely welcome to Wauwatosa Bible Chapel. It's great to be with you, and we trust that each one of us, as we're here this morning, we will be encouraged and uplifted because the Lord has brought us here together to hear from Him, and not to see anyone else, but to see Him. And so I trust as we're here this morning, every one of us will be directed to Him. I'd like just to split the session into two, about 20 minutes to do a brief presentation on Zambia and the work where we are at Liloma, and then God willing to return back to Isaiah chapter 52 that was read to you this morning. So firstly, presentation on Zambia. As you mentioned, the Loudons were with you, and just a few weeks back, they're about 8 hours drive north from where we are. For those who are not aware, Zambia is in central southern Africa. It's landlocked. It borders with about 8 different countries in terms of population, about 15 million people, so not a huge country numerically. Praise God, it's been stable politically over the years. You've probably heard of Angola to the west, Congo to the north, that have lacked that stability. In terms of religion, animistic, very much believing in the spirit world, still a lot under the control of satanic power in terms of witchcraft, but we thank God it is an open country to the gospel. The negative of that is that many different types of church groups come in with different teachings and different cults. Ministry opportunities abound. So where are we? If you arrive in Zambia, you fly into Lusaka here, the capital, and we drive about 13 hours up to Kibompo, Liloma, just there. Very quick introduction. Children abound in Zambia. 50% of the population under the age of 16 years. All the way through to old people. It's tough being an old person in Zambia. We'll mention that shortly together. In the rural areas, often in which we're working, housing still very basic. It's a rural community, so very much a village life where the extended family all live together in that setting. But we praise God, always opportunities to share the Word of God. Any village is open to the Word of God. Funerals are a part of African life. We live at a mission hospital, and almost every week we're attending some type of funeral, which again is a great opportunity for the Word of God. All the way through to weddings, the Zambian people are welcoming, a joyful people, and that really comes out at that time. You may think it's strange carrying things on their heads. Well, in Africa, women use their heads for many things, also for carrying different items, etc. Just a neat shot of this lady disappearing with her calabash of water. What do they live on? Historically, there was the cassava, the root crop, that is there both as the main diet and also the leaves. The cassava is harvested as roots, cut, dried and cut into chips, crushed, pounded into a meal, stirred into a big pot a couple of times a day, and that is your shima, the staple diet that they have twice a day. The area we're in, very poor area, and so you may struggle to get down some of the relishes that you are served with, dried fish, caterpillars, whatever. For them, they would have meat perhaps once a month. That is the type of area we're thinking of. All different local sites, you'll be amazed by the anthills. Yes, these are made by little white ants. Quite amazing in the edifice, but they're very destructive in your house, so housewives, look out. They love to eat any carpet if you have. Any books that you might have, they love clothing, anything like that, you're always on the lookout for these things. Just throw in Victoria Falls, we don't get there. It's about 17, 18 hours drive from us, but it speaks of the awesome power of God. How can anyone say there is no God? Huge, beautiful plains, all the wildlife is gone now. All the way through to a lot of water in Africa. You may not think of Africa having rivers, but there are some big rivers. The rainy season comes from November through to April, and heavy rain throughout that time. Still, a lot of people go to the rivers to get the water to drink, to wash clothes or themselves. Beware of the crocodiles. Just where we are, every year someone is attacked or killed by a crocodile. Just in terms of snakes, speak to my children afterwards if you want the snake stories, but snakes are there. We don't trip over them every day. This one happened to come back underneath the car from a Bible conference, and we praise God we killed it before it got to the children. Sorry to turn your heads on that one. Forest cobras, they're around. Rabies, still a big problem. We're in a rural setting in Africa. All the way through to other little ants, the army ants. Very destructive coming out in the rainy season. Very carnivorous. And as soon as they focus on something, it's gone, whether it's a chicken or whatever it may be. We live in a tribal area. So we have a local chief. He covers a big area in terms of his rule. This is his palace. We're thankful for him. He's a brother in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And so we have a neat relationship with him, and he's a great help on many things. Just one of the things he has, a yearly celebration every year, it has negatives. It draws thousands of people there who get involved in the drinking society, the immorality. But at that celebration, where you've got these thousands of people in the arena, he allows the presentation of God's word for 10 or 15 minutes to all those people. Isn't that wonderful? And so we're able to hand out literature and other such things at that event. Just to introduce you to our children, they have quite a menagerie at Loloma, all different animals and things. So there's David, the oldest one, who's 13, Daniel is 11, and Kara is 9. People carry things on their back. Ladies carry things on their back. So Kara, she likes to carry her little goat on her back. All the way through, we have an airstrip, and the pilot is very helpful this time. Not John Loudon, another pilot coming in, just sharing something of the aerodynamics of the plane with the children. Friend or foe, I'll let you decide on that one. Just a few little things with the children. Always lots of friends around, hired really to set the borders as to how many and for how long, but just great times with children anyway. So what are we involved in Zambia? As we've mentioned, the opportunities are many. Just want to speak briefly about children's work, school opportunities. We have a camp and conference center, outreach and church teaching, medical work, village for the elderly, and if we have time, just very quickly on some practical maintenance. Children's work, we've mentioned already, the opportunities abound. I'm at Loloma every Sunday, 7:30 to 8:30, anything from 300 to 500 children, split up into different grades from grade 1 all the way through to grade 8 to 10. Some of our teachers, we praise God for many committed Sunday school teachers. Don't give up. If you're in Sunday school work, this is a treasure. The Lord bless you for it. It's a wonderful opportunity. You can imagine being in a room like that with 300 or 400 children, how they really sing. At the end of the year, after time together in the morning, we split up into the different classes, just meeting outside in different areas, teaching the same syllabus to them week by week by week. Notes are provided both in English and in local language. And the end of the year, you can imagine, is a time of great joy and encouragement, different games, different prizes, etc. We have just right there on the mission a nursery school. I want to introduce very quickly this lady Ruth, or Lute in the local language. She's been providing this service. She was educated by someone from overseas, and she has two classes of 30 children each morning for 2 hours each, and she's there to teach them the basics, but on a Christian foundation. And it's always a joy just to drop in and hear them learning to read and write, yes, but learning memory verses, learning choruses, things from God's word. At the end of the year, we're able to gather the parents together and just have a time together with them, sharing the word of God. This is an elder from the assembly where we're in, and just showing to them what the children have learnt and what they have done. School opportunities in our area of Loloma without a teaching degree. My background is engineering, not teaching. We're able to get into the public high school. They have a very evangelical religious education syllabus from grade 10 to grade 12. At that phase, all the teaching is in English. Be a little careful, they're still learning, so sometimes we drop into local language for that. But the syllabus is very evangelical, based on the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, going through the birth of Christ to his resurrection, then the birth of the church all the way through its development in Acts. A wonderful opportunity to share the Word of God, and just a very quick, typical classroom setting there for you. Growing out of that in our home, we're thankful to have every Tuesday evening a Bible study. Some of the students, some of our hospital staff, just attending that regularly, where we go through consecutive Bible study with them. Joy is very good with her culinary ability. She provides for us a meal every Tuesday night, and then we get down to study. So many opportunities with young people that you can have in that side. Can I just mention very quickly one wonderful opportunity in terms of schooling? You may forget the name Kayombo, K-A-Y-O-M-B-O. It's, as you'll see, fairly close to us, a couple of hours away, where the church is partnering with the government in education. Does that happen in America? It doesn't happen in England. And here we are in Zambia, where they want quality education on a spiritual foundation. Isn't that wonderful? And so we recognize that education is only complete when it not only touches the academic side, but also the moral, spiritual side of a person. So a church board has been formed, mostly of Zambian people, to head up this vision. Teachers selected by the board, employed by the government. Isn't that wonderful? Boarding capacity for 350 students from grade 8 to grade 12. It's a remote location. We're in a remote part of Zambia, so access is a problem. And yet you drive through this area. We're fairly remote. You go 2.5 hours north from where we are, and you come to this wonderful structure. You say, am I still in Africa? This is like, wow. All the way from the main assembly area. I can't take you through everything. A wonderful administration area. All different types of classrooms, cooking facilities, a beautiful kitchen, boarding facilities. And you think, why is that here? Perhaps God has a purpose for it. He has said, all nations will come and worship before me. And we trust that will be the case here. Yes, access is a major challenge at the moment. Driving through the rainy season, perhaps a tree across the road. But when the church picked up the school in January this year, these were the teachers that were at the school, except for this brother here, the headmaster and the deputy. Both are brothers in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? To feed into that environment, Christian, godly men to head up that school, so it's not only academically proficient, but also spiritually based as well. Remember them. There is opposition. There is always opposition. We've had to remove, unfortunately, this man who was a drunkard from the school. And his whole family rose up against the headmaster, surrounded his house late at night, smashed the windows, said, we're going to kill you, get out of here. Pray for that man, that he will remain committed to the work of the Lord. So I leave Kayombo with you. Wonderful opportunity. We need your prayers, that God will bless many young people through that opportunity. Let me come quickly to Samafunda, close to home where we are, just 10 minutes drive from Loloma, being developed by local Christians in the area, used for youth camps, and then also Bible teaching for the various churches in the area. We're thankful for these two Zambian couples who live at the site to maintain and manage that for us. We start out in the year with a couple of preparation days, and people just give of their time to come and clean up the site, get it ready, and this is a typical lunchtime for that occasion. Throughout the year, the different programs, sisters from the assemblies give of their time to come and take care of the cooking for that. So what's a youth camp like? We have 5 to 6 each year. About 150 students would attend, whether grade 7, 8, or grade 9, 10, or 11 and 12. and we're able to have three Bible teaching sessions for 3 or 4 days over a long weekend. Isn't that wonderful? Just get the Word of God out. He will do the rest. At the end of each session, we have small group discussion, never to force salvation. That is of the Lord. It's not our work. It's His work to save. But just to make sure it's been presented, it's clear, any questions they may have been answered. Obviously, they have their sports time as well. And for us as counselors, just a wonderful time, iron sharpens iron, to be together over that weekend. All the way through to Bible studies. A couple of years ago, 2 Bible study weeks were introduced from Monday night to Friday. And again, 4 sessions a day just presenting the Word of God to these people. We need consecutive Bible teaching to understand this wonderful revelation from God Himself. And so typically, again, 120, 160 people just gathering, surrounding the Word of God during that time. We start early in the morning, Zambia. Daylight hours are the same pretty much through the year, around 5:36 through to 6:37 at night, mostly the same all the way through the year. So early morning prayer time, and then study time together. We've done all sorts of things, a Bible overview, or the wonder of God's grace, or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit. We just had real special times of teaching at Samafunda. Please remember that work. Village outreach. We've mentioned it's very much a village area that we live in, and people are open to the gospel. So you can go on a village and say, please, can I share something from God's word? They would say, why would we say no? Is that America? Not quite, is it? It's certainly not England from where I'm from. Obviously, the concern, yes, everyone claims to be a Christian, so you need to get under the surface. Present the gospel, ask the questions, how were you saved? What does it mean to be a Christian? So that the Lord starts working in the lives of these people. We mentioned Monday afternoons, we go house to house through village areas, just sharing the Word of God, working with local believers. This is a group in our absence. They're still continuing this work. We work with them every Monday, either visiting the hospital or going through a village area, sharing the Word of God. Having prayed together, we divide up into groups and literally just go from village to village to village. Wonderful, sharing the Word of God. Children, always there, always following you. Please give me some literature. Oh, can I have this? Oh, can I read this? Isn't that wonderful? Remember that work. God has said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. One of the privileges outside of the school curriculum, we're able to go away for a week at a time to different areas and do exactly that same thing, except with a difference. Being there the whole week, great opportunity for teaching in the morning, evangelism in the afternoon and in the evening. And this is a typical group of young people that we would work with for that type of activity. Let me move on to church teaching, because there are a number of churches in our area. We often say within a 2-2.5 hour drive, we can reach 70 different local churches. Not this size, no. Often small church groups, planted often by Zambian people themselves, but need encouragement. We all need encouragement, needing teaching. We all need to be taught. And so most Sundays, we're out visiting different assemblies in this part of the work. I just mentioned briefly, Saturday is also a time of conference where they like to have a monthly Saturday meeting as well. Sorry, very quick again. The assembly where we are based at Loloma, I think you may be able to decipher that. Jesu Christu di Mwanta, Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God, He is. Not only in America, not only in England, He's Lord of all. The assembly at Loloma is well-founded. Here are 6 of the elders, all local African people, well-taught in the Word of God. We thank God for them. And so most of the time, we'd be visiting other assemblies, perhaps somewhere like this on the town road. I took this picture because my brother finally came out to see me. I'm the youngest of 4, and he was struggling a little bit with the food, as you can see, but it was great to have him there. They're very hospitable. If you go for the Sunday, you also enjoy the shema and the dried fish or whatever they have to offer. Or more rural area, Mulinga, just fairly close to us, but I'm sorry, the seating isn't quite what you're used to, so you need to get used to a different type of accommodation. Saturdays, there's a thirst for the Word of God. So first Saturday of the month, it's a monthly meeting at La Loma, and thankfully I'm mostly withdrawn from that now. Second Saturday of the month, we go to an area called Manyinga, and we teach on the second Saturday of the month. Last Saturday of the month, we go to another area, and again, just have teaching sessions. Opportunities are there. The time is not. There's just great needs and opportunities at the moment. All the way through to different conferences, we may meet under a tent, something like this, or literally just meet under the trees. Because again, April all the way through to October is dry season, no rain. So that is the time when all of these things take place. And one of our dedicated fellow workers runs a little book room where we are based. Can I shift gears and just come quickly to the medical work? Because you may remember Zambia for mission hospitals, and we're speaking of La Loma, where we're from, or Kalani, or Chivuma, or Chitokoloki, or Dipalata, or Mambalima. This is a huge work. I cannot really do justice to this. There is still a huge opportunity for medical mission in Zambia. And we're just going to go through very quickly some of that. For La Loma, started in 1956, so almost 60 years, based upon the Word of God. Serves a community of 55,000 people. We have 120 beds, hundreds of outpatients every day, deliver over 1,000 babies a year, etc. Most staff employed by the government. As you can see, all of our senior people are African people. These are all Zambians. We've got a doctor from Congo with us at the moment, a Christian doctor. Just remember that work. He's on call 24/7. He has amazing commitment to the medical work. Thankful for a Zambian couple that live right with us at La Loma. He's retired, a good Bible teacher, has a medical background. He's our administrator at the hospital. It's just wonderful to work with him and know that in our absence, the spiritual work is continuing. Yes, we have some missionary nurses. You may have come across their names, all Canadian. Marion Ronald, she's been at La Loma for 50 years. Can you believe that? Rebecca joined us for a couple of years now. Daisy, again, 50 years. These two are cousins from Canada. Just remember Daisy. She struggled with cancer for many, many years, and she's back in Canada seeking further treatment for her bladder cancer. And Julie, about 14 years. So a wonderful work. Just quickly through the hospital. This is part of the inpatients area. Just different wards around, as I've mentioned. Always a queue at the doctor's office. He's just inundated all the time, but all the way through to the wonderful times, triplets. How'd you look after them? One at a time is enough. So you can imagine our children had fun with them. Noah's Ark is always popular for the young children. Most of the cases, malaria. Huge issues of malaria in our area. We were given a hospital ambulance by the government, so that has really helped bringing inpatients to the hospital. Theater on call all the time. A doctor, you have to touch every area. It's tough. Nowadays, you specialize. But when you come to Zambia, you need to be an expert in everything. Some of our laboratory staff. But what is the purpose for this medical work? Twice a week, Monday morning, Friday morning, we're able to gather all the staff together and have a devotion with them. Isn't that great? Just to set the day with the Word of God. A number of them, non-believers, they claim to be Christians, but as the Word of God is presented week after week, it will not return void. It's God's living Word. Not only that, each morning on the PA system, the gospel is presented to all the patients through the wards. Isn't that great? And one of the parts we enjoy whenever you have free time, just go. They love to see you. Chat with them, talk, share the gospel. So we have these wonderful opportunities. And you can be there sometimes just for an hour or more with this one person who's asking, what does this mean? And what's this? And tell me about this. I don't understand. How can you say no? Great opportunities to share the Word of God. Just keep an eye on time village for the elderly. We've mentioned it's not easy being an old person in Africa. Sometimes they have children, but they don't want to look after their parents. Sometimes they're accused of witchcraft, and they have nowhere to go. So we have a little village of 25 people, and they each have their own little room to live in. All different tribes. I've not touched language today. That's a whole different issue. English is the national language, but for most work we're involved in, apart from school work, you need a local language. And all of these people would be either, this lady is a Lunda, this is a Lunda, this is a Lunda. Some of them are Luvali, Luchazi, Chokwe. There's a whole mix of language in our area, and they all come to us. Able to provide just basic resource for them, for their monthly feeding, their diet, etc. Sometimes some sweaters, sometimes blankets. Some are real characters you can't see. Just look at the glint in her eyes. She's always ribbing me because she's Luchazi, and I don't really speak Luchazi. I can get some of the words, but she's always pulling my leg on things like that. This little lady here, can you imagine chasing her from your village? Tough, isn't it? Tough. She suffered with leprosy. You can't really see her feet. Her hands show that. So those are some of the dear old people we have under our care. Just very quickly, an overview of where we are. Quite a big location. And that introduces us to our last topic, maintenance. There needs to be the daily maintenance of life, doesn't there? The hospital, the workshop, the houses, building projects, etc., etc. Variety is the spice of life. We're thankful for a workshop, and it was a real issue. We had a missionary couple looking after it. They came back to the States, and so transition, trying to look after this as well, tools going missing, etc., etc. Thankful for this young man, Ioano John. He's picked up the workshop just 18 months ago and is doing a good job. He's still not mechanically complete, but he's getting there. And we've left it all in his care. Look after 12 vehicles, a lorry, etc., to maintain. Always lots of variety, electrical, mechanical, whatever. Thankful for these two young men employed by the government now, who take care of most of the hospital maintenance. We've trained them. Some were trained already in woodwork, trained them in plumbing, starting with electrics, even looking after the issuing of diesel, etc. All sorts of variety. Both believers in the Lord. Remember them. Thankful to introduce an airstrip to the area, which I'm sure John may have mentioned when he was with you. There's a number of airstrips in our area. For what purpose? Basically visitors, rather than bumping 13, 14 hours to get to us. You can get on a little plane, 2.5 hours, you're at La Loma. But the real need, medical issues. When there's a medical emergency, how do you evacuate somebody? And so we've been thankful for that opportunity just to use the airstrip. Can I conclude? My apologies if this has been a wind whistle tour. At the end of the time, please feel free to ask questions. Joy is very open. My children are open. I'm open. Any issues, any questions that you may have, we'd be more than willing to share with them. If you take away nothing else, please remember to pray. Doesn't matter who we are, where we are. We don't understand it fully. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. And just remember the many old people with little help or care. The sowing of God's word amongst the young people, the children, the students at La Loma and Kayombo. The village outreach work. Assemblies that need teaching. Wisdom just to know who and how to help. Always people at your doorstep with this issue, with this problem. And just great help for Joy with her homeschooling and her hospitality. Can I switch gears and just go back to Isaiah chapter 52? And before we do that, let's just take a moment to pray. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be together with your people today here in Wauwatosa. Pray your blessing upon your work across this world. We've mentioned something of La Loma and the area there. We bring these needs to you. You are God and you are great. And nothing is too hard for you. Bless your work. Build your church. Glorify your name, both there and here in this area. As we open your word together, we pray it will be a blessing and an encouragement to each of us this morning. For we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just in case you weren't here for the reading, could I just run through very quickly again, Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And we commence to read at verse number 13. The Bible reads, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently or wisely or shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, just as many were astonished at you. So his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle or astonish many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider." Trust the Lord will bless that to each and every one of us, because God's constant exhortation to you and me is to do what? Is to behold His Son. That is the crux, the pinnacle of Christian life, to have your eyes fixed, transfixed upon the Lord Jesus. And you may open this word, this Bible that we have, the precious living Word of God, trying to seek different things in it. But can I challenge you and encourage you that when you open the living Word of God, there should be one thing in your mind, that is to see Christ. Because the older I get, the more I'm convinced that the whole of Scripture is telling us one theme and one theme alone, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 3:15. So when you go through the Old Testament, there are always pictures and prophecies of Him. And here in the book of Isaiah, we're told many times to have our eyes fixed upon Him as the servant, as the King, as our God. And here we are in chapter 52, the second time He says, "Behold my servant," to look intently at Him. This isn't just catching a glimpse and running away. The whole of Christian life is intently gazing upon Christ. And can I challenge anyone here this morning who's not seen the wonder and glory that is in Jesus Christ, take your eyes off the sparkling pleasures of this world that are transient and fix them upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who offers to you a glory, a grace, a love, a salvation that you can never find in this world. It's found only in Him. And the very desire of God the Father is for you to behold, to look intently at Him, because He is the source of eternal life. He's the source of your satisfaction. Isn't that wonderful? He was sent right here as a servant, so that we can behold Him, because He lives in light unapproachable. He is far above and beyond His created universe. And yet He descended into humanity and became a servant. That is awesome. How can we process that? He upholds all things by the word of His power. And He became a servant. Please remember, Christianity is a life of service, not self-exaltation. And I may be speaking to someone here today, if there's a problem in your life or in your family or in your church, perhaps you and I need to be reminded we're simply servants of the living God. We are nothing. He is everything. And as we look at Him in His servant character, it reminds us and says, "Behold my servant, he will deal wisely, and I leave that with you. Study and follow it. The wisdom of Christ that came out in his life, the one full of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They marveled at him. They were amazed by his wisdom. Are you lacking wisdom? I certainly lack wisdom. It's found in him. And he gives to all people liberally. The local language says with two hands. Isn't that lovely? He gives everything bountifully. He gives wisdom to all. He deals wisely. Another translation says, he shall prosper. And he certainly has prospered, hasn't he? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. He shall prosper. Just want to mention briefly the second part. Three key promises of God's word. He shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. When you come to the word of God, you're not entering an area of doubt or possibility. You're resting upon the eternal, living word of God. And God has given us this promise concerning his servant son, he shall be exalted. Whether I seek to exalt him or not, he shall be exalted. And that is a wonderful reminder in our world that is fast going away and denying his very existence, to be reminded today, he shall be exalted. Don't be discouraged. He shall be exalted. Why will he be exalted? Because as a servant, he humbled himself. He entered into this world and he himself said, he who humbles himself shall be exalted. It will happen. He shall be extolled. To extol simply means to speak well of with your lips, with your mouth. He shall be extolled. He was once the song of the drunkard. He was once despised and rejected. He made himself of no reputation. And so in answer to that, he shall be extolled. Oh, praise God for that. He shall be extolled. What does Philippians say? God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. Why? Because he went right down to the depth of the cross, even cross death. And as a reward and as a result from that, he shall be very high. Whether you believe it or not, it will happen. Can I suggest to you very humbly that is the greatest satisfaction in your life when you exalt him? You give him the place that he's worthy of. When you extol him, you speak of him in all his greatness. When you make him very high, the first and foremost in your life, that's God's purpose. But whether you seek to do that or not, the promise of God is unstoppable. There is a day coming when every knee will bow to him and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Why? Because the Old Testament promises he shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. And against that background, just very briefly, verse 14 and 15 come into great contrast here. And as you move into verse 14, we're amazed by the depth of his suffering, his humiliation. And then you step into verse 15, and if you're amazed by the depth of his sacrifice and death at the cross, we're going to be equally or even more amazed by his glorification. He has been vindicated. And if we're amazed to see him in his humility at the cross, there's another day that is coming when we will be completely amazed to see him in his power, glory, and majesty. This is the servant. And he entered into that service for you and for me. in order to have us with him in his glory for all eternity. What does verse 14 say? As many were astonished at you, or some translations, at him. His visage, his face, his appearance was marred more than any man. When Christ came to suffer in this world, he suffered far more than anyone has ever suffered. And that brings practical implications into our life. No matter how much suffering you may endure, it will never reach the suffering of the Savior who gave everything for you and me to bring us back to himself. I don't have time, just quickly, chapter 50, verse 5 and verse 6 says, the Lord God has opened my ear. I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away back. I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Did he turn away from the cross? Praise God, he did. He went to the very death of the cross, suffering more than any has ever suffered, to show to you and me that he only is the way, the truth, and the life. And to show to you and me that he is the good shepherd who gives his life and the only Savior. I may be speaking to someone today, and you've never come to know him. Can I just say very simply, every religion that this world offers says, do this and perhaps you may be acceptable before God. Only Christ says, we are totally unacceptable as we are, but I will do everything on your behalf and I will be your Savior. If you're not saved today, there's one crucial thing you are missing in life. You need a Savior. And to gain that salvation, you go the cross where he suffered for you and for me. Yes, he loved the world and gave himself for us, but it's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And as we remembered him this morning, what a depth of suffering for you and for me. We bounce into verse 15. Just in that same way, as people were amazed when they surrounded the cross and saw the extent of his suffering. And dear friend, we can never really plumb the depth of that. What he endured, not just physically, but there spiritually in the hours of darkness, who can tell and who can reveal? But just as we're amazed at the depth of his suffering, there's another day coming. Because the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, because there's another day that's coming. And only through his salvation, through his suffering at the cross, will he reconcile all things to himself. And there will be another day of glory. And verse 15 says, in just the same way as we're amazed at him in the depth of his suffering, we'll be amazed by him in the greatness of his glory. He's coming. Whether you accept it or not, the King is coming. And that day of his return is drawing nearer when he shall be vindicated. That rejoices my heart. I trust it rejoices yours. Because we live in a world that still rejects him. But he will come. He's the only solution to this world. So shall he astonish many nations. Because sadly, many nations of this world are turning their back upon God and following the deceptions of the enemy, but he will astonish, amaze many nations. Why? Kings will shut their mouths at him. They will close their mouths. Isn't that interesting? Because our world rulers today claim to have all the solutions, claim to have all the answers. But when you gain one view of Christ, you see him for who he is and yourself for who you are. And you suddenly realize you are nothing in his presence and your mouth is completely stopped. to gaze upon him. Have you been to the cross and seen him like that? If you delay one day, you will see him in the greatness of his glory. It will be too late. Your mouth will be stopped. Unable to confess him as your Lord and Savior. But today is the day. Many kings, when they see him, the King of Kings, shall stop their mouths, close their mouths at him. Why? What had not been told them, they shall see. Don't you feel sorry for the world rulers today? They've just been following a myth, a lie. What has not been told them? They're turning away from the truth, some willingly ignorant. But on that day, what was not told them, they shall hear. They shall see, sorry. And what they had not heard, there'll be cause to consider. If you reject Christ today, one day you'll be cause to consider him. You cannot miss him. He is the center of eternity. But today he offers himself as the Savior. What an opportunity. Whether in Zambia, here in America, there are still many people who haven't heard. They think they have heard. They think they know. But they're just being deluded and deceived. May God empower us and help us to be the mouthpiece, the channel, for others to hear of this one who shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. Isn't it wonderful? The King is coming. I trust he's your Lord and your Savior. Because just as the whole nations of this world will be amazed by him in his glory, so will you, and so will I. We're coming to know him. But just imagine on that first glimpse of Christ in glory, in all his greatness and majesty, and recognizing that very same one gave everything to be a servant for you and for me. Out of his poverty, the grace of the Lord Jesus, so that you and I might be rich. May the Lord bless his word today. And encourage each one of us, wherever we are, he shall be exalted. He shall be extolled. He shall be very high. Should I close in a word of prayer and then we're finished? Let's pray together. Our Father, we praise and worship you together today. We're amazed again at the awesome power and glory of our Savior. These lips are too feeble to proclaim who he really is. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. He's the Counselor. Father, we praise you that he became the servant. And out of his service, his death at the cross, salvation is flowing to all today. Pray your blessing upon each one who is here. We're each known to you personally and individually. Help us to fix our eyes intently upon Christ. Pray your blessing. Pray your blessing upon your work in Zambia and across this world. Glorify your name because you are God and you are great. We bow with thanksgiving at your throne, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much for your time. May God bless you.